Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Father, that, as Paul mentioned at the beginning, that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we are invited here as your people. We're invited despite what we may be feeling. We're invited in despite what our week has looked like. But we trust, Father, that as we meet with you here this morning, that may you speak to us, may you transform us, may we leave here rejoicing in the truth that we have been set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's so good to be with you today. As you know, my name is Alan. I am currently a pastor in Paisley, and I'm a pastor of a church called Hope Hall Evangelical Church. So thank you for inviting me along this morning. I had a good chance to drive with my family from Paisley. We were wrestling as to whether or not we stay in Livingston. I'm a Livingston boy myself, so I have family there. And we thought, actually, if we just stay at home, we'll be able to just go for a Tim Hortons in the morning. If, for some of you that might not know that, it's a Canadian takeaway. It's very tasty. It's very good. So we drove over this morning. And there was no traffic, which is great. I can't say the same about this evening. It might be different, but I was asked to preach this morning and this evening, and I was thinking, and as I was praying, I was thinking, Lord, what would you like me to speak on? How would it look? Help me in how I navigate your word, and help me be obedient as well. So today we're looking at God's providence, how God provides. And we're looking at God's providence and human brokenness. I'm sure for many of us, we can see in our lives how God has made a way. Amongst us and amidst our brokenness, God has broken through and met with us. Sometimes it's very hard in our situations to be thinking and crying out, God, where are you? You're not here. I don't hear you. I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't trust that you're working because I can't see the outworking of it just yet. Sometimes we become so overwhelmed and overcome by our situations. And it isn't until we look back where we can start to see how God has worked all things together. So today we'll be looking at Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 21. Now, I won't be reading the full five or six chapters of the life of Joseph, which I'm sure many of you will be relieved. So it says this. I'll wait until the pages stop turning. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph says to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now, when you read the story of Joseph, you just think, I wonder how many of us here, when we read the story of Joseph, and we think, that reminds me of me and my family. Like, that reminds me of me and my sisters, me and my siblings. I wonder how many times we read the story of Joseph. And I wonder how many of us are deeply convicted at Joseph's constant faithfulness to God. I wonder how many of us in that situation would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I wonder how many of us would walk away. How many of us would say, God, you're a God of love, but you have allowed me to experience this. As we can see in the story of Joseph, we see in so many different areas of Joseph's story, we see betrayal and brokenness. We see Joseph betrayed by his brothers, whom he would have loved deeply. Now, I'm not saying Joseph would have been easy to live with. When you read it, I can't imagine he was easy to live with. But he was blood. He was blood to his brothers, and his brothers was blood to him. Joseph had dreams of leadership, and in his dreams of leadership, he would provoke jealousy and envy amongst his brothers. Imagine if one of your siblings was to come and say to you, hey, I had a dream. I had a dream that you were going to clean my house. I have a dream that you are going to provide a service for me. And instead of responding to me, like, I have five sisters, I don't have any brothers. So if I was to have a dream and say to my sisters, hey sisters, this is the task you are going to do for me, but no longer will you call me your brother, you'll call me your leader, I wouldn't be here to preach today. I wouldn't be. His brothers betrayed him. Reuben convinces his brothers not to kill him, but they sell him to slavery, and they deceive their father by dipping his coat, Joseph's coat, in blood as evidence of his death. We see God's providence in the difficult situations. We also see reconciliation in God's redemptive plan at action. We see a gospel message. All the way at the beginning of Scripture, we see before Israel was established, before the law and the prophets, we see God's redemptive plan. We see the gospel. We see a shadow of the gospel. Betrayal and brokenness. Many of us have experienced betrayal. Many of us, I hope, has experienced brokenness. And when I say I hope there's not anyone here that would say, I am sinless. In our sin, we are broken. In our sin, we fail and we fail. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because we have fallen short, because we are sinful, we find ourselves time and time and time again elevating a brokenness that Christ has broken by his death and his resurrection. But in chapter 37, we see that Joseph, who is favoured by his father Jacob, shares his dreams of future. Now, Joseph sharing his dream with his brothers provoked jealousy and envy. But Joseph was in no way, shape, or form the author of their jealousy and envy. Sin was. It's easy to read this story and think, well, maybe if Joseph never shared his dream, or maybe if Joseph had a bit more humility and shared, maybe the humility might have made it go down a lot lightly, or a lot lighter. But it was the sin that was at work and in the life of the brothers that provoked envy and jealousy. For us here today, we may find ourselves struggling with the same envy and jealousy, the same brokenness that we see within the brothers as well. Now, the dream that Joseph had, as Matthew Henry, he's a commentator, says, the dream of Joseph were a representation of future events, which would deeply affect all parties concerned in them. The dream that depicts Joseph's exaltation, elevation above his brothers, was a dream that was given by God. It wasn't a random dream where Joseph woke up, told his dad, and his dad says, I told you not to eat cheese at night. I told you to stop watching certain things. But the dream was inspired by God and it was provided by God. The means in which the dream plays out was also by God as well. We see it in previous chapters where Joseph says to his brothers, it wasn't you that sold me. It wasn't you that brought me here. It was God. That took me so long, I remember as a young Christian, to fathom. Why would a good God do this? Why would a good God do this? Of a God of love, of a God of justice, a God of peace, God of hope, why would he do this? But we only see half a picture. When we read the story, when we start reading the story, we only see snippets. And the more we read, the more we start to see the story really coming alive. We start to see God at work. And not to say that in some point in the story, like a plot twist, God is now working. God was working in and through it all. Joseph would have had every right, to a degree anyway, without outside of knowing and trusting and loving God, he would have had every right to turn to his brothers and say, you know what? You didn't want me when I was with you, but now you need something. How many of us have family that reach out to us when you need something? Many of us. And how many times are we like, oh, fine. Mercy. We see mercy at work. We see forgiveness. We see that God is working all things for the good of those that love him. As I said, many of us here may have experienced betrayal and brokenness. And as Christians, it's my instruction, my encouragement isn't to just hear what I'm saying in the sense of, oh, well, you may have experienced betrayal and brokenness and still dealing with it. Well, just listen to this sermon and go off and just forget about it. But speak to the elders here. Speak to the pastor. Speak to the pastoral care worker. work it through with people. Work it through. It's important for us as Christians to recognise that God has brought the body of Christ together for the purposes of building up a bride. And the body has many parts. And therefore, because the body has many parts, the body is a weapon in which God is using in this world to combat the betrayals, the brokenness that we see. When the church goes out, the broken have an opportunity of hearing the gospel. Wester Hills Baptist Church, when I came in, right in the middle of an estate, there'll be brokenness all around here. There'll be betrayals all around here. There'll be hurts. There'll be suffering and pain. What does God have to say about it? What does God have to say about it? Despite the injustices Joseph faced, God's providential hand is evident throughout his journey. God has not left Joseph alone. He hasn't. God didn't disappear for 10 minutes then show up again. There was no empty, even in the jail cells. God was with him. God's hand was present. And God's redemptive plan wasn't foiled. Joseph went from a slave to holding a very high, if not outside of Pharaoh, the highest position of office. Now, this wasn't by chance. This wasn't by fluke. This wasn't because Joseph had a good work ethic as a slave. It was because of the dreams in which God had used Joseph to interpret, that Joseph remained to be a voice for God. God's providence is his constant care for and guidance of his creation. He orchestrates all events according to his sovereign will. R.C. Sproul in his book, Essential Truths of the Christian Faith, that God orchestrates. And sometimes it's very hard to fathom, but why? But why? And this doesn't in any way alleviate human brokenness or sin. It's not in any way to say, well, sin isn't really, we're no longer accountable for it. We absolutely are. We are broken without Christ. We are sinful. If Christ was a bright white rug, we are that glass of red wine poured right on it. It doesn't go. The holiness of God and the brokenness of humanity doesn't go. It doesn't. But we see God's provision. We see God's provision in our circumstances. I remember when I was 15. And I remember I was a very, very young Christian at the time. Actually, I became a Christian that year. And I remember there was a situation in my family with my parents and my uncle and auntie, and I witnessed my uncle trying to kill my parents. And I remember the pain and the anger and the fury that left me with. I knew I murdered in my heart several times over the next several years. I knew I did. And I remember I was on the streets of Edinburgh, Royal Mail, with a group of guys evangelising. And I remember I felt God tug at me. And as I looked across at someone was my uncle. Absolutely not. I will speak to anyone and I'll share the gospel with anyone. Serve it. God, haven't you not seen the emotional and mental prison that he placed me in? God, provide him redemption. I went over, God held my own brokenness, reminded of my own pride. And I remember going over speak to me that several years prior that he gave his life to Jesus. And he passed as a child. And the more he shared with me, the more my heart started to melt. I remember that evening when I went home in prayer, I was like, Lord, I am arrogant. I am free to say who comes to you and who am I to say to you. It seems as though Joseph was full of God's faithfulness in his life. He was fully aware. Now that doesn't mean he didn't feel genuine pain and sorrow. He would have done. We see it. We see him rush off in tears, weeping, and pain. He had provided a way. He provided a way. God intervened. Not only did God have intervened in the human brokenness, and he made a way. Today, we Christ has made a way for us. We come and worship because God has sin. That there is no sin in our lives that is too dark or too wicked. Trails that we can't bring to God and which God cannot, by his wounds, heal us. Sometimes I come into church miserable. And although I don't, it's because I'm a Scot. Maybe it's because, like most of us here, the weather, maybe. That a wretch like us, all here, that were once blind, we now see. We have 100 vision. We have perfect vision. From our spiritual blindness, we have heard the gospel. There's reconciliation in God's redemptive plan. Timothy Keller says that the redemptive love of Christ who reconciles us to God. Joseph's response to his brothers showcases his profound understanding of God's sovereign providence. How many of us have this fear and guilt? Here would fall on our knees before any of our family member, say, I'm sorry, I have committed a crime against you. Forgive me. I wonder how we'll fall on our knees. We know we will. Revelation says it. Every knee, every tongue. Every knee and every tongue. We'll fall. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 holy. We see God's providence all throughout Scripture. He didn't leave his creation behind. God hasn't separated his hand. We see it time and time again. We see how God had made a way to get into the promised land. Now the journey from each journey. But God had provided their every need. The Red Sea. How many of us would be terrified? Like, how many of us would be like, run the other way? they walked through. But it's easy to become distant and angry towards God. It's easy for us to become like some of the in slavery. It's very easy for us as Christians living the Christian. What? I'd rather be a non-Christian again. I'd rather be back. Sometimes we need a biblical perception of our suffering. Sometimes we need. I saw a great quote a couple of days ago on social media. It tickled me. And it said, do I know one thing? Your feelings are opinions. And that really convicted me. Because I was like, of course not. My feelings and my opinions doesn't determine what this is. What opinions say. It's God's word that transforms me. It's God's word that changes me. It's always God's word. And God's word. Reconciliation requires humility to repair broken relationships through confession and forgiveness. That's one I found challenging when I was reading this. Because it's easy to just say, okay, I'll just get over it. Forgive, that's not confession or forgiveness. That's, for me anyway, I find that more of just brushing it under the rug. He didn't confess, he didn't repent to me. Now, I could have been like, God, I'm not going to speak to him until he confesses and repents. Lord, I things. All things are in your control. The more I pray, and the more I pray in very difficult situations, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me forgive. Help me to forgive. The crimes we commit against the Holy God are significantly greater than against each other. The worst, we've sinned against the Holy God. A holy God and blameless. There is nothing in God's nature, his character. There's nothing within God's presence that is sin. This is what makes justice an important concept for us to really live by. Is that it's because of him, not us. It's because of Christ. It's because of Christ. It's because of Christ. So as we reflect in God's providence, and we are reminded of the profound truth that God is sovereign over all. Through Joseph's story, we witness the transformative power of God's providence, and in the face of betrayal, adversity, and reconciliation. I have three quick points. One, in our brokenness, he is near to the brokenhearted and offers comfort and healing to him. Trust in God's providence, recognizing that his sovereign aspect of our life and his ability to guide us through difficult circumstances. May we pursue reconciliation and forgiveness. Of extending grace and mercy to those who have wronged us. And seeking within the right to repair broken relationships through humility and honesty. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I hear some people that would say in the Old Testament, oh yeah, but that was in the Old Testament. Now we have the New Testament. Now we have Jesus that is a bit more to be around, which is quite a broken understanding of how the old and the new. But the God of Abraham, Isaac is our God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that? God has never let his people down. He won't start in your life. He hasn't started in mine. At times when I preach, I can't think of a single moment where God has failed me. I really can't. I could write a book with the amount of times I failed him. Faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for your word that transforms hearts. Thank you, Father, but that in your word it says that we have trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Not to be anxious, but to pray with thanksgiving. Be a people who are loving and compassionate, merciful and forgiving. Help us recognize areas in our life where we have cried of leaving us. We have accused you of not being present. We have accused you of not knowing what you're doing. Fix us, and may you remind us that before all this was, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite the band to come up and lead us in a Father, as we conclude our time together, of your enduring presence and your promise of peace, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who conquered death and rose again. As we leave this place, may we carry with us the assurance of your provision, O God, with everything good for doing your will. Strengthen our hearts and minds to us, reflecting the love and mercy of our Saviour. Lord, work it, transforming us from within and moulding us into vessels of your grace. Darkness and a shining light in a world filled with darkness. Now may the peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, do with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.